So the Gemara on the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis gives this whole description as if it happened every day. It didn't happen every day, but David HaMelech consulting the Sanhedrin, consulting the Yoetz, and then consulting the Urim B'Tumim in order to go to Melchemes HaRishus. That's the Mishnah, the opening Mishnah in Sanhedrin. To go to Melchemes Mitzvah, you don't need all of these. To go to Melchemes HaRishus, that's what the Mishnah requires. So Rashi understands when the Gemara quotes the Pasuk of Yo ben Yehoyada al ha-kresi va'al ha-plesi. You take a look in the Rashi, the top line on Dalai and Amal Dechen Ha'imah, Ben Ayo Ben Yoyoda Ala Kreis Ve'al Kreisi, Rishon V'kodem Lahem. He comes first, because Ben Ayo Ben Yoyoda Zeh Sanhedrin, that's the top line in Rashi, top line on the Amud, Rishon V'kodem Lahem, Shebetchila Notlam Rishus, from the Bez Nagor, V'achakach Sholim, the Urim Etumim Mim Yatzlichu. So Rashi translates Ala Kreisi Ve'al Kreisi, he precedes. Bnei Yoyada B'Yoyada means the Sanhedrin, the Rishus from the Sanhedrin precedes the authorization from the Kresi of Kresi. And the Rabbi Natam and Tosis learns Fakert. Bnei Yoyada B'Yoyada was in charge of the Sanhedrin. Kresi of Kresi is Sanhedrin, not Urim B'Tumim. So that's the Machlokes. It's Rashi and Tosis. What did the phrase Kresi of Kresi mean? Okay. It appears in the Gemara and other places. So Rashi learns all the time that Kresi Plesi is the same as Urim Etumim. Rabbi Natam says that it does mean that. It means Sanhedrin. Then we saw the Gemara Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara says that a person traveling on the highway, he's afraid Shema Yafsiku Avrei Drachim, is going to stand and say a long Shema Esrei, so people are going to interrupt him in the middle, so he should daven Tefilah Ktzorah. So Rashi and Tosis finally comes around to saying the same as Rashi. Rashi and Tosis say that what it means is Havinenu. What is Havinenu? So the Gemara said, they said the Gimel Rishonis and the Gimel Acharenis, and instead of saying 12 or 13, we say 13 brachas in the middle, you have a concise version of all of the 13 brachas. You have 2-3 words for every bracha. Havinenu is the kids for about Techonu L'Adam Das and so on. So that's Machlekes HaTanoim later. Is one permitted healthy person who has the ability to say the whole Shmona Esrei, you have all the time in the world, are you allowed to daven the bridge version? So we paskin no. Havinein is only for a person who is sick and he doesn't have the courage to say the whole long Shmona Esrei, then we'll make a leak and say Havinein. But if a person is up to it, he's supposed to say the long version, the regular Shmona Esrei. So that's the Tefilah Ktzorah, that's Havinenu, that's good to know. Then the Gemara in Gimel Amud Aleph mentions what HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears Bnei Yisrael gathering together in Bati Knesias and reciting, answering Amen Yehesh Mei Rabbah. That's four lines from the bottom of Gimel Amud Aleph in the Gemara. B'shor She'isa Nechnasim Bati Knesias the Bati Medrash of Amen Yehesh Mo HaGorol Mevar HaKadosh Baruch Menanei HaRosh Veimar. Why did I destroy the Beis HaMikdash? Why did I have to send my children into Golas? That's terrible. So Tosis says that the Machzavitri, which is from Rashi's Talmidim, translates Yehei Shmei Rabbah as already a brocha. That's already a shavach. Yehei Shem Yudke. Shmei means Shem Yudke. There's a name Yudke. There's a name Yudke Bavke. As it says, Kior Al Kesko. So the Gemara says, Ein Hashem Shalom, Ein Akisa Shalom. Hashem is not referred to as Yud Kei Vavke, is not referred to as Ko. And it says, Al Kes Ko, Hashem swears by his throne. It should really say, Al Kisa, Yud Kei Vavke. So it calls man that there's Amolek Bo'ilam, that's in the context of Mechel Mes Amolek. It calls man that there's Amolek represents the problem of evil, that you have Tzadik V'ralo, Rosh V'tovlo. What is the problem of evil? One gets the mistaken impression that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not in full control of things in the world. That the God who created the world made the world one way, and is it as if there's a different God who gave all the moral, ethical, and religious laws, because there's a contradiction. How can I have tzaddikim who suffer? How can you have Rishayim who prosper? So it looks as if there are different powers in the world, and we believe there's only one power. So if you would say that God does know what's happening, okay, if you say God doesn't have any power, you have a teretz. If you say God doesn't care, you have a teretz. But if you say we believe, and you say there's more than one God, that's a teretz. But we don't accept any of the teretz, and we believe there's only one God. He's in full control of everything, and he's a good God, and he doesn't want these terrible things to happen, and he lets everything happen anyway. So then you have a kasha. How come tzadik ra'al le'rosh v'tov lo? So that's called ko. Yud kei vav kei. Case ko means the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the king. When the king is in full control, then he's really a melech. When the king is not in full control, there's a rebellion, so to speak. And the king is not in full control of what's going on, then his throne is incomplete. So that's why it's called case. And that's why it's called ko. Ein Hashem Shalom, Ein Akisa Shalom. That's why the Tzlach says later in the end of the Masechta, when you have Agadita about Yerushalayim, so the Tzlach comments that Yerushalayim is always spelled in Tanakh. The name Yerushalayim appears over 650 times, I think, in Tanakh. And it's always spelled Choser Yerushalayim. It's missing the second Yud. Why? Because in Yirmiyot it says that Yerushalayim is called Kiseh Hashem. That's the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Officially, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech, the king over Eretz Yisrael. And his official capital is Yerushalayim. Beis Hashem is the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. But calls man that you have a Molech Ba'olam, so then the Kisei Hashem is incomplete. That's only called Kase. So that's why Yerushalayim is incomplete. It's Yerushalayim. It's missing. That's what the Tzlach writes in the end of the Masechta, in the last parak. There are only three places in Tanakh where the name Yerushalayim is spelled Molech. And the meaning was for many centuries that when you write a Ksuba, you write a Get Yerushalayim, you write a Tosa, you write Yerushalayim, because the Kisei is Ein Hashalom. There is Zayin Shem Shein and Nimchokim, the Gemara Shavuos has, and it's quoted in Yerudah. Seven names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you're not allowed to erase. Why do we call it Shem? You're not allowed to erase? Because the Pasuk says when we come to Eretz Yisrael, we should destroy the Nitatzdam Mizbechos, and we should destroy the Mizbechos that were made for the sake of Avodah Zarah. Mishibartem is Matzevos, and the Matzev is a one-stone Mizbech. Instead of having a lot of bricks and cement and everything, they have one slab of a stone. That's called the Matzev. Vashareim Tisrufum Boesh, you should burn all the Asherah trees that they bowed out to. Vibartem Mishmam Min HaMakamu, you should destroy the name of the Avodah Zarah Min HaMakamu from all the locations in Eretz Yisrael. Then the next pasuk says, L'Sasen Kein L'Hashem Elokeichem. You're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to do this means you're not allowed to be noited seven min hamizbeach. You're not allowed to erase Shem Hashem. So the Gemara speaks about the Zayin Shemus, Shein and Mechokim. We refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Erachim Lechan and Erach Apayim. That's Kinuyim. Those are descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's not called Shem Hashem. That's not called the Ibaratim Eshmam, Lo Sazgan, Lo Shem Elokeichem. But you have the Zayin Shemus, Shein and Mechokim. So that's a whole discussion, the different girsis in the Gemara, different girsis in Yerudah, which are the Zayin Shemus and Nimchokim. But two of them are Yudke Vavke and Yudke. These are two different Shemus. And the Rambam writes that Yudke is a Miktsas Min Hashem HaMeforish. So we usually assume, the Minchas Chinuch assumes, when he has his discussion of this, that the Yudke as a Shem Bifnei Atzmai is the first two letters of Yudke Vavke. So based on that, we mention he has a Kasha. When you write a Sefer Torah, so why do you write Yud K? And then you write Vav. When you write Yud K, you already have a Shem Hashem. Then when you write the Vav, in a certain sense, you just ruined it. It's no longer a Shem Hashem. Then when you write the final He in the name, then you made it even better than it was before. Before it was only Yud K. That's one of the lower level Shemus, and Yud K Vav K is the highest level of it. That's the Shem HaMeforish. So the Menachas Chinuch raises a question: why do you write in order Yud K and then Vav? Maybe you should write out of order, so you're not really doing any Mechikas Hashem at all. So he says, maybe there's a din that Yenik Siva Kisidron. There is a din that Mechilta has, and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara never has it. And Taisus and Menachah seems not to be hold from this din. On the side of the Taisus, the side of the Gemara, in the margin, they point out that Taisus seems to hold there's no problem in writing letters in the Tefillin and Mezuzah out of order. You didn't put a letter, as long as the letters are in order now, but you didn't write them in order. You have to write, let's say, the Parsha of Shema, you have to write for a Shin, and Mem, then Ayin. What if you write it backwards? If you're a righty, and you're writing like this, are you going to smudge the Shin and the Mem and the Ayin? You have to be careful not to smudge it. So maybe you can write backwards. Maybe you write, I know what I want to write on the first line. They had an article in the New York Times years ago. There's a non-Jew in the New York area who does calligraphy on ksubas. So they write Hebrew ksubas, so they write it backwards, forwards, doesn't make a difference. They can write it down, up. So Ksuba is not din of Kisidra, but in the mezuzah, Tefillin mezuzah, the Mechilta says that din, and it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch that you need Ksiba Kisidra. So if you need Ksiba Kisidra in the mezuzah and Tefillin, the Lechav should be a Kal Vachomer that you should need in Shem Hashem and a Sefer Torah. So that's what some Achronim have such an idea. The Mishnah's Chachamim is a Chibur on the Rambam that Pesachei Tshuva quotes once in a while, and Haschina quotes it pretty often, the Mishnah's Chachamim. So the Mishnah's Chacham has such an idea that Tefillin and Mezuzah need Ksiva Kisidra, Kal Vachomer that Shem Hashem always needs Ksiva Kisidra. So that's a Shaila, is it really true that you need Ksiva Kisidra? So that's what the Minchas Chena says. If the Mishnah's Chachamim is right and you need Ksiva Kisidra, then you have no choice. You have to write Yud Kei Vav Kei. But if he's wrong, if the din is he can write the letters of Shem Hashem out of order, he would recommend you shouldn't write first Yud Kei then Vav Kei. Because in a certain sense, it's a mikzas mechikas Hashem. Rav Soloveitchik said from his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, that he thought differently. He thought that the Yudke is not the first two letters of Yudke Vavke, it's the first letter and the last Hey, not the first Hey. He thought that the Yud in Yudke Vavke, the Yud represents future, like Yihyeh. So the Yud represents the future, and the last Hey represents past tense, and the Hey Vav in the middle represents Hove. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Hove, Hoya Hove v'Yihyeh. So, Ba'olam Hazeh, Ein Hashem Shalem, because it looks as if at present, Hashem is not in full control of the world, because you have everything has gone wrong. You have Tzadik V'Ra'ala, Rosh HaBetovlo, all the Kashas are in the present. In the past, we know that there were Nisim in the floors. There was Makas B'choros, and there were Esa Makas, the Rishoyim were punished, and the Tzadikim prospered, and we know in the future it's going to be like that. So Hashem will be the Melech in the future, and Hashem was the Melech in the past. But the Hove is missing. So that was a Moshe Soloveitchik thought that the Shem Yud Kei is not the first two letters of Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's in Mikzas when Hashem appears, the Rama calls, and it's the first letter and the last letter. So when you write Yud Kei Vav Kei, when you write the Vav, that's not a Mechikas Hashem. You don't have the Shem Kor there. Because you write the Hey, you wrote the Hey of Yud Kei Vav Kei, intending that this should be the second letter, not that it should be the fourth letter. Somebody who dabbles in Kabbalah told me that in Kabbalah they don't assume, like Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, they assume like the Minchas Chinuch, that the Hey is the first Hey of Yud Kei Vav Kei. I'm not familiar. Okay, what else do we have? So Tosfos says that in Machzav Itri, that's written by a student of Rashi, it says Yehei Shmei, the word Shmei is really a combination of two words. Yehei, Shem, Yud Kei, the name Yud Kei should expand. The Gemara says, Ein Hashem Shalem Bo'olam Hazeh, because Kol Zman you have a Molech Chai Bo'olam, Kol Zman you have this problem of evil, so you have Tzadik Ra'ala Rosh Avitolo, so there's such a concept as Ko. But Lo Si Lovoi, when a Molech will be wiped out, then it's going to be Yud Kei Vav Kei. So that's the meaning of the tefillah. Yehei Shem Ko Rabo semicolon. That's the end of the bracha. Then Mevarach Li'ol Me'almai. We should bless the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei also. But Yehei Shmei Rabo is already a bracha. So Tosfos says it doesn't fit into the Gemara. Because the Gemara doesn't say Yehei Shmei Rabo. The Gemara says Yehei Shmo HaGadol Mevarach. So the word HaGadol is an adjective, a description of Hashem Shalom. It's not that is the bracha, Yehei Shmei, Rabbah, let Shem Hashem become greater, let it convert to become from Yud-Kei to become Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. And you don't have with Avav. So Tesitain is, if you see from the Gemara, against the Machzavich. Okay, that's what we always thought. We really never thought like the Machzavich. So what happened over here? Rabbi Yossi says, "Bamachas Yisim Halap Aderech." Around 25 lines from the bottom of Gimla Manav. He's once traveling on the highway. He was concerned, and he was concerned. He's got a daven on the side of the highway. Shami Apsikune Avi Drachma. He went into a churv and he davened. So the Yoa Navi was there. He had Gili Elio, not just the Chassidish Rebbe's have. The Tana Rabbi Yossi also had Gili Elio. Elio Navi told them that he really should have davened tefillah k'tzorah because this is a shas hadchak and you really shouldn't go into a churva. The Gemara gives three different reasons. The last two lines are numbered. Three different reasons why you shouldn't go into a churva. So two reasons are, if ne'am apolis, the whole churva may collapse on you. if it's an old churban, pnei mazikim, the mazikim may start up with you. It's not healthy, it's dangerous. And the first consideration was pnei chashad. People may think that he's going to have a rendezvous with a prostitute there. What's wrong with chashad? So you see from the Gemara, you're not allowed, a person is not the owner, he's not the balabas on his own reputation. You're not allowed to ruin your own reputation, just like you're not allowed to talk Loshon Hara against somebody else to ruin their reputation. You are not to buy them on your own reputation. You have no right to do something that which will cause people to believe, to think that you are doing an aver. That's what it means, chashad. The Gemara has a lot of times, you're not allowed to do something with name Marasayin. So the Stechemed has a long essay about Marasayin. So he points out, and the different Gemaras, it sometimes has a different meaning. Sometimes Marasayin is, you're not allowed to do something, people will be choshed you that you're going to do an aver. So that's Mefneach Hashad. That's what our Gemara calls Mefneach Hashad. V'yisim nikim me'ashem me'yisrael. No one should be choshed you. No one should think that you're going to do an aver. And then sometimes the Gemara has Marasayin means a different thing. I'm going to go into a restaurant that has a very poor hashgacha, and I'm going to go to use the telephone. I'm going to go to buy a Coca-Cola to use the restroom or something. And people are going to think, oh, the rabbi with the long beard goes in, so it must be the hashgacha is good. So they're going to eat food there. So that, in a certain sense, that's really a violation of Lifnei'iva, the Siti Mikshal. You might call it Lifnei'iva b'shevi al-tase. Real Lifnei'iva is, I invite you to my home, and I serve you tray for stuff, tray for food, that's Lifnei'iva. Oh, you asked me, is this hashgacha reliable? I know that it's not reliable. I say, yes, you can eat there. So that's lifnei'iva, l'sitei mirshol. I'm giving an etz sheinu hugenas. I tell him something is mutter and it's really osur. So that's one kind of lifnei'iva b'kumbi. I say, here, I'm minding my own business. I'm going to the McDonald's because I have to use the restroom or use the telephone or something. And people are going to think that they're going in order to eat food, and they're going to think that it's kosher. They're going to think they're allowed to eat. So that's also lifnei'iva l'siti mirshol, but that's lifnei'iva b'shevi al-tase. So those are the two different kinds of marasayin. Sometimes marasayin is because of I'll be machshel other people, and sometimes marasayin is because of chashad. Because of chashad. There's a famous story about the Chofetz Chaim, that he was once traveling on a train, and the other person in his cabin was also Jewish, so he didn't recognize who he was, didn't know who he was. So he asked them, where are you going? So he said, he's going to Radna. He said, why you live there? So he said, yes. He says, oh, the Chofetz Chaim, the Holy Tzaddik Hador, Chofetz Chaim lives in Radna. You know him? So he said, yes. So he kept on asking, and tell me some of it. It's Tzidkis and Hasidus and Precious. So Chofetz Chaim kept on knocking everything down because he didn't want to brag about himself. He felt so uncomfortable. He didn't want to tell him that he's the one who's known as the Chofetz Chaim. So the other balabos who was traveling with him got angry at him, and he said, you're mevazeh the Holy Tzaddik Chofetz Chaim because you're knocking everything down. So he didn't know what to do. So when they arrived in Radin, so he quickly ran out of the train and he ran home. And that night he went to Davin. The yeshiva was right across the street from his home. The home is not there anymore. They took it down brick by brick and they moved it to Muncie because the family, the Zaks family, wants to rebuild it over there. But it used to be. It used to be across the street, right? Diagonally across the street from the yeshiva. The yeshiva is still there. So he went to Davin in the yeshiva. And then he walked up to the front where he always Davin in the front of the Beis Medrash. And then this balabos was davening in shul also. So he realized that this man who was on the train was the Chofetz Chaim. So he walked over after Davin and he apologized why he insulted him on the train. So they said the Chofetz Chaim said, no, it was my fault. I wrote so much about Lashon Hara, I forgot to write such an obvious thing that one is not allowed to say Lashon Hara against himself. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say, that's the din of Nei'ach Hashad. The Gemara has half of the din of Marasayin because of Hashad. You're not allowed to do something because you are not the balabos on your own reputation. Just like you have no right to destroy someone else's reputation, you have no right to destroy your own reputation. So that is the din of Hashad. Okay. Then the Gemara discusses.
Is there a difference as far as
Hadrei
Hadarim between
the
two kinds of Marasayin?
The Gemara says, "Kol davar she'asa chachamim mishum Marasayin." There's a machlekes hatanaim if there is such a klal. So, and there's a machlekes rishonim how we paskin the first parak and beit. I think the Balamor paskins we don't accept that. But most of the Rishonim assume we do pass like the din. Whatever the Chachamim prohibited because of Marasayin, So even if no one's watching, I feel the b'chadru hadarim, it's also awesome. So there is a big machlokes in Achrayim what that means. So the Pesachei Tshuva Yerideya quotes those who say, any case where there's an issue, there may be an issue of Marisayin, you're not allowed to do it even b'chadru hadarim. So it gives the following example. I shechted a behema, and I salted it, and I know that the chicken or the flesh, I know that this is kosher. I was involved personally. Then two crackpots come, and they say that it's nevela. I know that they're crazy. I was the shechet, I salted, I shechted it, I salted it, everything is kosher l'mahadrin. But as far as everybody else is concerned, and dvav shalecha b'makam shnayim, it's two against one. So the other people are supposed to believe the two people. The two Edom are supposed to believe me, because I'm only Edech, and the other two are two Edom. So the Pesachei Tshuva says, even though I know that it's kosher, I better not eat it in public, because people will think that I'm eating the nevela. So the shaila is, am I allowed to eat it in private? No one's watching. So I know that it's kosher. No, these two guys are lying. They're not here. I was the one who shechted the chicken or the behemah, and I salted it, and everything is kosher. So the Pesachei Tshuva quotes those who say, since if other people would be watching, I wouldn't be allowed to eat this chicken or the meat, because it would be Marisayin. So you're not even allowed to eat it when no one is watching. Others disagree with that, and they say, how does that, Kaldova Shasa Chachamim Mishem Marisayin, only what says in the Gemara. Whatever doesn't say in the Gemara, this is not mentioned in the Gemara, that if I know that it's kosher, two Edom come and they lie and say it's treif, and the public has to believe the two and not the one. So this case doesn't appear in the Gemara. So other Achrayim disagree, and they say, no, it's heter gomer. You're allowed to eat it even in public. Marisayin is only also davish also chachamim shem marisayin. Whatever the chachamim didn't single out, whatever they didn't prohibit, there's no marisayin. You don't have to invent your own marisayins. So Soloveitchik thought that the ikkar was the middle shita, not like either of the extreme shitas. The marisayin is also whenever there's a chashash marisayin. But davish also chachamim shem marisayin. If the tanoim singled something out and they said you're not allowed to do it, so they labeled this as a Maisa Issa, so that takes on a life on its own. So then, even Mechadra Chadorim, it'll be awesome. But this case, where I say it's kosher, two witnesses say that it's Nevela, they don't know what they're talking about. This was not mentioned by the Tanoim. They never singled this out. So you're not allowed to do it in public, and not allowed to eat it in public, because people will think you're doing an Aveira. But there's no Din of Mechadra Chadorim, it's not a Dovah Shasa Chaham Emeshe Marzan. So the Stechem quotes all of these Shitas. So the Pashtas, that's our observation. The Pashtas is the middle sheet. Some hold the Marisayin is a real Issa deraisa. The Mishnah in Shvius learns it out. The whole second parak in Shvius has a lot of din in Mishnah Marisayin. And it's based on the Pasuk V'yis and the Kiyim Yashem and Yisrael. The Pasha Pshat is that it's a real din deraisa. It's not an asmachta. You're not allowed to do anything, either form of Marisayin. Not allowed to do anything which will convey to the public the mistaken impression that you're doing an Aveira. When the Chachamim single it out, so then it becomes a loy plug. When they didn't single it out, so then whenever there is Marisayin, you're not allowed to do. Whenever there's no Marisayin, you are allowed to do. The Gemara never says you're not allowed to drink chol of shkedim with meat. Let's say we have par of the milk. So a person has, they serve a meal, and then they're going to serve coffee at the end, and they're going to have a container of part of the milk, and people are going to pour the milk into the coffee, and then they're going to drink the coffee. So it looks like you're having basa b'cholof. It's a marasayin of basa b'cholof. So the Rishonim came up with this. The Gemara has something similar, but not the same. Dam dogim is mutter. You only have to salt chickens and flesh. You don't have to salt fish to remove the dam. The dam dogim is mutter. But if you're going to have a glass full of dam dogim, people will think that it's a dam of the behemah chai liof. So you're not allowed to drink it. That the Gemara has. So the Gemara says it's mutter if the dam of the dogim still has the kaskasim in it. He didn't filter out the kaskasim. Then it's mutter. So if Kibegi writes on Shulchan Aruch, but let's say they did filter out the kaskasim and the dam looks like regular dam of a behemah chai v'yoif, and you're going to put the label, you're going to put a sign on every table, the dam that we're serving tonight is dam dogim. So if Kibegi thinks that would not be matir. The Tanoim only said it's mutter if it still has the kaskasim in it from originally from the fish. You're going to make up your own way of solving the problem of Marzayin. That's not acceptable. Only what the Tanaim said. So the Rishonim came up with this, that you're not allowed to have part of the milk together. They didn't have. We have, what do we have now? Almond milk. Rice.
Soy.
All kinds, soy milk. Yeah, all kinds of milk. So they had Cholav Shkedim. They used to have almond milk, Cholav Shkedim. So the Rishonim came up with that. Marasan doesn't say in the Gemara. So they say if you have the Shkedim there, if you put some Shkedim on the table next to the milk, so that's a heker. That's a good heker. It's mutter. That's a heker mi bachutz. So Rabbi Kivega says that wouldn't be acceptable if you put a piece of fish on the table, or you put a sign on the table, all the dam that everybody's drinking in this restaurant is all dam dogim. So that would not solve the problem. Tanoim singled out dam dogim as a marisayin, and they said it's only mutter if you have in the kaskasim, it has the simen in it. Has it naturally in it.
So he disagrees with that? That you have the container,
or
the
skater,
he disagrees with that?
No, Rabbi Kivega says the only reason, by dam, since the Tanoim asked it because of Marzayin, so they said the Tanoim who asked it made it into a loyplug, so you can't, it's not going to help. You're going to tell everybody on a loudspeaker, I'm going to put up signs all over in the restaurant, all the dam that everybody's drinking here is dam dogim. That's not good enough. The only hat there is if it still has the kaskasim in it originally, from the way you got it out from the fish. A simen, a heker mibachutz wouldn't be good. But this, the Rishonim came up with this chumra, that this is marisayin if you have cholav shkedim. So if you have a heker mibachutz, it's also good. So any new marisayin that you come up with, any heker mibachutz would be acceptable. But whenever it's a koldav shasa chachamim shem marisayin, if the Tanoim singled it out as an isa marisayin, then it takes on a life on its own. And then it'll be only mutter if the heker is mitoko. If you have a heker. So that's the Gemara over here about chashoda. Yeah, Nachum. But then we said about enam ufnei ameis. You're going to deliver a hesped. So someone's going to say a whole pilpul and a hesped, a whole dvartur. So if you're saying a dvartur that the meis said, I'm going to say, oh, but this meis said a shtikol ter. So that you're allowed to say. Or if I'm going to say a whole hesped, a whole dvar Torah, and apply it to the mace, I'm going to say mitzvahs, ma'asim tovim, a whole chiddush, and I'm going to say the mace was careful about this. That's dvar of shel mace, that's okay. But let's say we're waiting, the orin is already there, and we're waiting for them to begin the hesped, and we're sitting in the front row, and waiting to begin the hesped, we're going to talk and learning. So that's the loig l'rosh cheret v'sehu, that the Gemara has in the next parak. We ran through two prokim, so the beginning of the third parak in Mar has Loig LaRosh Cheref Oisehu, that's on Yud Ches Amid Aleph. So the Gemara says that you're not allowed to wear your tzitzis out here. It's in Mishle, chapter Yud Zayin, right in the middle of the Omid. Yud Ches Amid Aleph, Loig LaRosh. One who laughs at a poor man is indirectly being mevaza the Rabban Shalom, because the Rabban Shalom was the one who made him poor. So a dead person is also never a poor individual. He can't function like a living person. So if you're going to wear tzitzis in the front of the dead man, even though he's wrapped up with the beggar shal tzitzis, minig is we bury them. That's an old minig from the days of the Tanoim, that you bury a person with tzitzis. Tesis quotes it from Masechus Mochas, that Masechus Mochas Perek Yud Beis. Abba Shaul instructed his children that you should bury me with my tzitzis. So that's an old meaning, but still, the mesim apata from tzitzis, and wear chayv, so we're, if you're going to wear our tzitzis exposed in front of the mesim, that's a violation of loig l'rosh. The same thing, and not a lot of talk and learning in the presence of the meis. What's the presence of the meis? Let's say it's near the cemetery. So it's a walk away. Where I'm standing now, I can see the oren. The oren is a few blocks away, but everything is straight. So that's called in the presence of the meis. So Tosfos says only Toch Dalaramis. Dafke v'Dalaramis. That's how Tosfos writes on Gimel and Beis. Rabbi Kivega refers you to a Tosfos in Bava Kamma, but Tosfos says the same thing. The more there quotes a pasuk, then when Chizkiyo HaMelech died, they showed him tremendous respect for Kovod Godel Osa Lo B'Yom Osa. What was the Kovod Godel that they made? Malan Shehoshiva Yeshiva Al Kibra. They had people learning near his grave. So Tosfos says, how close were they to the grapes? Tosfos says, it was not Toch Dal Ramas. has to be chutzal dalamas. Toch dalamas would be a violation of loig larosh chayr if I say. Yeah, I think in Shulchan Aruch it says, if you're chutzal dalamas is mutter if you're not inside a room. Let's say there's a funeral home, and they have a big auditorium, and they have the mace all the way up in the front, and there's someone, a yeshiva bach, is sitting all the way in the back. He's sitting and learning Taisus, he's learning Gemara with Taisus till they're going to begin the Hespit. So even though it's Chutz L'Dal HaAmis, but it's in the same room. If it's Al Pnei HaSadeh, and you're Dal HaAmis away, then it's not Bifnei HaMeis. But if it's in the Oso Cheder, it's in the same room, then it is Bifnei HaMeis. Yeah, what's the Shir Dal HaAmis? Where does that come from? That's the Shir for Tfisas HaKever. That's the Shir for Tfisas HaKever. When Haruge Bezdin are buried, so you're supposed to bury them with the Suda Shenechnat boy and with the Saib Shenerek boy. So the Gemara says, you bury it Toch Dal HaAmis of Meis. You don't put it Mamish in the coffin, you don't put it into the Tachrichim, into the pocket of the Tachrichim. There are no pockets in Tachrichim. That's how they say, because you can't take it with you. So there are no pockets in Tachrichim. Yeah. But so the Gemara says, you don't put the Suda Shenechek but in the Saib Shenerek, but you don't put it Mamish with the Meis. You put it Toch Dal HaAmis of Meis. So there's a concept of Tvisas HaKever, Tvisas HaKever. Sometimes in the Gemara spelled with a Vav, sometimes spelled with a Yud. Tvisas HaKever is Dal HaAmis. There's a Din Midrabban, that's called the Tikkun Rabbanu Kein Deraisa, Tikkun pattern after this Din Deraisa, that a Meis is Matambi B'magam Masa Uba Ohol. The ball means, let's say this is the Meis. If I put my hand on top, that's Ohol. Or if I'm sitting outside, someone carries the Meis on top of me, the Meis is Mahil on me, or I'm Mahil on the Meis, it's Ohol. Or if the mace is over there and I'm over here and there's an ohel on top of both of us, that's called ohel hamshocha. The tumah is nimshach, it extends from over there to over here because we're both under the same ohel. And if there's no ohel on top, so then the other kinds of ohel are stronger. The ohel where I put my hand on top of the mace, so they carry the mace above me, that's the Gemara in Ha'or V'Arayt of the end of Chulin. The Gemara considers that more akin to maga. That's considered a branch of maga. But ohel hamshocha, that's really ohel. That's a lower level. That's why there was a practice in Europe where Rav Moshe came from. They had that practice, and the Poskim talk about it, that the son-in-law of the Nesibis was a Chassidusha. Son-in-law Chassidus was a Chassidusha. And he was a rabbi in Sochatchov. The same time as the Abdenezer was a Chassidusha Rebbe in Sochatchov. So the son-in-law, of the Nesivis was the rabbi in Sochatchov. So he used to quote things in the name of his father-in-law, and they thought that he must have made a mistake. So one of the things, he printed a very thin sefer, the hesped that he delivered when the Chiddush HaHarim passed away. The Chiddush HaHarim was the first Gerer Rebbe. He was a Chassidusha. So at the end of the hesped is not that long. The hesped takes a few pages. So he had empty pages in the end. You have to print a boygen. A boygen is at this 14 pages or 16 pages or something like that. So he didn't even have 16 pages. The whole sefer was so tiny. So he writes, Kadesh Allah Lahotzi Hanayor Cholok, in order not to waste empty pages. So he's going to write Divrei Torah. So he writes Halachas, Heoris and Halacha, and Yerodei Hilchas Avelos, and Hilchas Tumas Kohanim. So he writes there that he heard from his father-in-law, from the Nesivis, that the Shulchan Aruch says, there's a machlokes hatanaim in the Gemara in the end of Bab Metzia where the meisei akama metami ba'ohel or not. So the Raman Paskins, they're not metami ba'ohel, but the Bali HaTosis are machmer. So it says the Shulchan Aruch, one should be machmer for the Bali HaTosis. Meisei akama metami ba'ohel. So the son-in-law claims in the name of the Nesivis that there are three kinds of ohel, that the only chumrah that you're noyig is that you shouldn't be machel on top of the meisei akama, shouldn't sit there if they're going to carry Meisei Akam above you. But Olam Shocha, you don't have to be a Machmer for. Because Olam Shocha is only the Rabbanan, so you don't have to be Machmer. So the later Poskim said he must have had wax in his ears. It's not correct. Who says Olam Shocha is only the Rabbanan? If I'm on the mace is over there and I'm over here and there's one oil on top of both of us, that's only the Rabbanan. Who says it's only Rabbanan? There is such a Shach in Yeridei. It sounds like it says only the Rabbanan. So they say the Shach is a misprint. The Shach, whatever, Sivkot Yud Zayin. So in the Shulchan Aruch says Yud Zayin on one line. So they say the Yud Zayin belongs five lines later. And so if Tumalotzes, doesn't go on this. Sefta Malach is also a question whether it's Daraisa Rabbana. That's a contradiction. There are two Rashis in the first, in Maseches Beitzah. One place Rashi writes it. Sefta Malach is only the Rabbana. One place he writes it, it's Halacha Moshe Nisina. It's also a question. So this whole quotation is a very questionable. So Moshe Feinstein said where he came from in Europe, that was the meaning. That they were, the Kohanim would only be makbid, not to be mahil amesei yakim, but oil am shocha, they would be mekalan. No. So that's someone wrote a whole sefer on that topic, whether the son in law of the Nesivus was right or wrong. I forgot what it's called. What's it called? Who knows? Pischei Shorim or something. You must have mentioned it last year. I give the same shiur every year. Must have mentioned it last year every year. Yeah. I think the sefer is out of print. They didn't, but it's a very good sefer, a very strong sefer. It goes to a lot of the dinim of Tumas Ohel, Tumas Koyana.
Rabbi probably has an article on those.
I probably do. So I'll probably quote the name of the sefer.
I have to look.
Okay.
Okay.
No, that's probably a modern sefer, but this was in Europe and an old sefer. Whatever it's called. Okay, so the Gemara has this din. The Tosfos says Tochdal Anamis. So there's a din. Min HaTorah, it's only called Doel of Hamayil on top of the mace. But the Rabban, if you stand within Dal Anamis of the mace, it's also Metami Be'oihol because of Gzeira. If the person was standing here and he'll start waving his hands, he may put his hands on top of the mace without even realizing it. Unless the mace is on the other side of a wall. Let's say the mace is inside the hearse and the door is closed. So even if the kohen walks mamish right next to the hearse, but he can't put his hand in because the door is mopsik. Or let's say the mace is inside the funeral home and the kohen is walking outside of the funeral home in the street. He can't stick your hand in. There's a brick wall separating between you and the mace. So then you don't have this din derabbanan. That's the Gemara, the last daf of Maseches Soita. The Gemara has that. This chumah mederabbanan that the mace mitami dalanamis misoviv lo. Because of the chashash that you may put your hand on the labadaiti, you won't realize that you just became tamei, doesn't apply whenever there's a wall mafsik in between. So that's why the Lubavitcher Kohanim want to go to the Rebbe's Kever. So they go with a portable wall. They go like people stand in the street and they have straps on their shoulders and they have an ad in the front. Take your haircut down the block. They have it in the front and the back, huh? They still have it today. Yeah, they still have it today. It used to be more common years ago.
You don't need it as much as it had. They cleared the path now. You can walk without it, without the box now.
I don't know. So they used to have a shtick that the kohen would walk with a whole wall around him. Doesn't make sense. He has his arm sticking out. He has his arm sticking out. What does it help? He has a wall around him, but his arms are available. He can wave his hand on top of the kevin. It'll be mitami him. I think it's a mistake. I think it's not correct at all. If the wall is there, if you have a funeral home and the mace is inside and the kohen is walking in the street outside, so Kent is no chashash, he's going to stick his hand through the wall. He's going to break his hand. So it's a brick wall separating. So there the Gemara said, the last Omer Aleph and Saita, they were never goes to Tuch Dal Anamis. But this din, the Tuch Dal Anamis, this is called the Tikkun Rabbanan Kein Deraisa Tikkun. There is a din deraisa that Dal Anamis around the mace who's buried is called Tfisas HaKeber. So they had a latch onto some shear. So they picked the shear of Dal Anamis.
What does that say? Tehillim by a keber of a mace?
Not yet. You're not allowed to daven? Not allowed to daven. Tuch Dal Anamis of the keber. You have to be marchik. If you want to daven al kibbutz tzaddikim, you have to stand outside of the cemetery. You stand far away. You don't stand right next to the kever. So that's the Gemara. Then the Gemara had him out. Then there were two versions of the Gemara. What about the toksicha b'teilo? Is that mutter? It's only also b'divitar because like the Rosh Cheref I say, or they say it's a bigger b'zoyin ameis to talk dvar b'teilo, toksicha b'teilo. So that there were two l'shanis in the Gemara. And Tosfos quotes the Rif. That the riff is mekel. Tosfos says a pasuk Rav Alfis mishum Ravai dafke the ritter dvarm the alma leislam bo. That loshen in the Gemara. Okay, what else do we have in the Gemara? David HaMelech says shamar nafshi ki chassid ani. In what sense was he a chassid? So Gemara says, well, one version is he's a chassid All the other kings lazy around in bed until Gimel Shoaz Bayom. They don't have to work for a living. And Dovan HaMelech is up and active, very Davin's Vasikin, and he's learning and he's composing Tillim. He doesn't lay in bed until Gimel Shoaz Bayom. That's one version. Shamanasi Kechosidani. The Gemara has another suggestion. What is Min Kechosidani? All the other kings, Malchim, Mizrach, Amarav, Yoshim, Agudas, they sit, Bechvoidam, they sit on a throne, in fancy clothing, in a big day Malchus, and everything. And I have to pass Kenshailas. Ani, Yodam, Melochlochus, Bedam, Ubishvir, Ubishulia, Kadei Tairi, Shalabaila. Dovin HaMelech is Paskin Shadus and Hilchus Nido. So he has to handle the mace. If you have a Tinek mace, you have to handle the mace to see does it have a Tzuris Avlad or not. Is there a Tumas Yoledes? if the fetus is less than Mem Yom, then there's no Tumas Yoledes. If it's more than Mem Yom, then it's a Tumas mace. Then it's a mace, Metami Bo'el, and then the woman is called the Yoledes. And he handles a bedika cloth, so he dirties his hands. Yodam alochlochas bedam to determine whether it has a maratohar or a maratomi. Well, so basically, I was used to use this as an expression to indicate that by the Greeks they didn't believe in experimentation. They felt that manual labor is only for slaves, and the free men have to philosophize. Why does water go down and why does fire go up and how come the water puts out the fire, why doesn't the fire put out the water? Everything was with philosophy. They didn't believe in experimentation to find out scientifically what everything is based on. And the Jewish people always believed in experimentation. We mentioned the Ramban has on the first daf in Elu Treifas, the Gemara has a Machloikas Tanoim, where the Treifa Chai, Treifa and Achai. The Torah prohibited us from eating all the animals that have a Simen Treifas. So Gemara has a machlokes at time. Is it forbidden because the animal will certainly die within 12 months, so it's considered as if it's half dead. So when you shecht it, the shechit is not chal. You can't shecht the dead animal because it's treifa enachai. For sure it's going to die within 12 months. Oh no, treifa chai, it can live on forever, but it's not healthy to eat a diseased animal. It's not healthy. What's the difference halacha l'maaseh? What if you have an animal that has a treifas and you lock it up, and it does survive for 12 months? So do you say, Gloy Musma, for this animal is kosher, so you're allowed to eat it? Or do you say, no? The Torah says you're not allowed to eat a diseased animal, even if it will live for 12 months. So that's a machloika. So the Ramban there is bothered with a kashe. To Mihani, we mentioned, Hech nechluku avos ha'olam, he asked a kashe. We said, Lo nikru avos ha'lushlosha, the avos are only Avram Yitzchak Yankov. But the Ramban calls the Tanoim avos ha'olam, they're not the avos of the Jewish people, obviously Jewish people only, the Nikra Abbasal Shlosh, he says, Haich Nechlu Abbasal Ilam, with the Trefa Chai, Trefa Chai, why don't they experiment and see? Who says that the rabbis believed in experimentation? So the Ramban quotes the Talmud Yerushalmi, that there's a Machlokes HaTanoim in Maseches Chala, where the one who's Elechayim and Hafroshes Chala on the Chameshes Mine Dogon, wheat, barley, oats, rye, and spelt, because that's Boli De Chimutz. Or, but all other things, let's say you use matzah milk, let's say you use potato starch, or you use corn starch, or something else, and it'll also rise, and it'll also bake cake and cookies and everything, but it's going to be a different chemical reaction. When it rises, when you mix it with water, it rises, that's called sirchon, that's not called chimutz. So the Tanaim had a machlokes, what about oiriz v'dochen? What about rice? If you make flour from rice, you grind it up, and you make flour, and you mix it with water, so the Gemara has a machlekes. Is that boli de chimutz or is that boli de sirchem? Is it chayv and chala? Is it acceptable for matzah, leil haseder? Would you be chayv koris mishum chometz if you ate it on Pesach and so on? You have to wash until it's a daiman, eating such a bread, you say moitziana. That's a machlekes. So what's a machlekes? Is it boli de chimutz or is it boli de sirchem? So the Yerushalmi asks, how can you have a machlekes in mitzias? Why did they experiment and see? Whether it's Bala Dechemus or Bala Dechemus. Yerushalmi says they did experiment. They did experiment. And there was a chemical reaction. So the Chachamim said, you see, it's only Sircha and it's not Chimutz. And the other Tana, Rabbi Chimanuri, said, no, that's called Chimutz. They argued, where do you draw the line? What's called Chimutz and what's called Sircha? But the Yerushalmi can't dream of such a thing, can't imagine such a thing. There should be a machlekes hatanaim on a davar shel metzius. That's efshel levara. They should have experimented. So that's what the Ramban asks. How can you have heichnech luku avos ha'olam? How can it be the tanaim are arguing whether treifa chai, treifa chai? Why don't they take 100 animals that treifas, lock them up, feed them, and see if they'll survive for a year? So they'll know whether treifa chai, treifa chai. So Ramban answers they probably did, and probably all 100 died. So half of the tanaim said, there you have it, it's a beferish harai, 100%. They all died 100% that treifa ain't a chai. And the other tanaim said, but it wasn't a controlled experiment. Maybe if it would have had 5,000 instead of having 100, maybe two or three would have survived, and then it would have still been asa, because treifa chaya, even if the treifa can live for 12 months. It's not only because shechitas treifa is not matir, because it's half dead, and you can't shech the dead animal. Even if treifa chaya, it's also because it's diseased.
Why the machlokes
in
Sukkah, whether
there's
sheet and under the mizbeah? So that's also
a
machlokes, they can't go check?
In history, yeah, the Beis HaMikdash was Chorev already. So you have a lot of machlokes in about what the Bayi Sheni looked like. Where was this room? Where was that room? There was theorists in Josephus. Josephus was there. So the theorists in Josephus, that's a Pella. So they write about that. But there are contradictions between what it says in the Gemara and what it says in Josephus. Rabbi Israel Hildesheimer wrote a whole book in German to work on the contradictions between what it says in the Tanoim and what it says in Josephus. And the book was translated into easy Hebrew. It's in English. It's an interesting book. Try to find it for the students. And the Gemara has, the Tanoim had machlokes in about where the Mizbech was. Was it dead center? Or was it tilted? Was it to the right of the Azara? Different machlokes about a lot of things, because none of them were in the Beis Amir. All the Tanaim had all the machlokes, and they lived after the Churban Abayis. So sometimes you have machlokes and mitzvahs in history, because you don't know. Because you can't check it out, you can't experiment. But whatever is an issue now, is it going to live or die? So it's experiment and find out. Is it Bolei Dechimutz? So mix it and find out whether it's Bolei Dechimutz or not. Yeah. There's a machlokes in Achrayim. Can you salt flesh with sugar? Does the halacha require you have to salt flesh with salt, or can you salt the flesh with sugar also? So the son-in-law of the Nesivis calls in the name of his father-in-law that salt and sugar is basically the same thing, just a different flavor. But it's basically the same thing. So the Achrayim quote that, the Abnezer quotes that. He thinks it's off his rocker. He thinks the Nesivis never said it. Things must have had wax in his ears. He used to quote a lot of things from his father-in-law. Yeah. The one was about the Oil HaMshacha. Oil HaMshacha is only the Rabbanan, the Kohanim are not Muzra, and Meisei Yakam and Oil HaMshacha. And one is on the salt. So the Pischei Tshuva and Hilchas Malicha, and Yeridah talks about that Shaila. Can you salt meat with sugar? So salting meat with sugar, so we used to have a Rebbe here in Yeshiva. So the student said, why don't we experiment? They say, oh no, we don't believe in experimentation. No, it's a pilpul where the salt has a din of, where the sugar has the same din of salt. Sugar doesn't have the same din of salt. So the Ramban makes fun of that. The Ramban says, you don't philosophize. That's the Greeks used to philosophize. That's where they never got anywhere with their science. Everything was with philosophy. You only get places if you experiment. And he says, our Tanaim believed in experimentation. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said. They didn't accept this attitude of the Greeks that manual labor, experimentation is manual labor. Manual labor is only for slaves. No, the Tanaim would experiment. Anyway, so that's Yoda Melochlochus, Badam Shvi Vishal and Rav Soloveitchik's writings. That expression means that he would believe in experimentation. I remember once the OU used to have a convention every 2 years on Thanksgiving weekend. It's already many years they haven't had. The Aguda has every year, and the OU used to have every other year. So I remember once they published a hesped that Rav Soloveitchik delivered when Rav Chaim Moizet passed away. So when that was published, so one of the speakers at the OU convention spent a whole session, I think 50 minutes, talking about the hesped, different aspects of the hesped. So he didn't know this expression. Yod HaMalachlos, I'm sure he didn't know what Rabbi Soloveitchik meant by that. That's what he meant. There were other things also he never heard of. The Machzor L'Shlish L'Rivia. He didn't know what that expression meant. A lot of expression he didn't know. Then someone in the audience, Rabbi Riskin was there in the audience listening, so he didn't believe that the Hesped was authentic. He said, if for 40 years, the Hesped, Rabbi Chaim Isaac died in 1940, I think. So for 40 years, no one ever heard of this Hesped. How can it be? It's not authentic, because it contradicted something that he thought Rabbi Soloveitchik held. So they asked me. So I said, it was printed 40 years ago. It was printed in Hapardus, just wasn't reprinted. So now it was printed in other books also 40 years before. They just reprinted it now in a volume, with a collection of different drushes by Rabbi Soloveitchik. That was a famous Hesped when he said. They introduced him. Rabbi Blazer Silver had the convention in Cincinnati. It was a convention of the Agudas Rabbanim. And Rabbi Chaim Isaac had passed away. So first he had people who were Rabbanim, who were close to Rabbi Chaim Isaac, they said Hesped. So they were crying and talking about how great Rabbi Chaim Isaac was. And then he flew in Rabbi Soloveitchik from Boston to go to Cincinnati to deliver the Hesped. So he said in public in front of everybody, one of the rabbis who was there told me this. He said, when Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi died, the Gemara says in the end of Ksubis that he left instructions, Al Tispeduni Bayoris. They shouldn't deliver any Hespedim in the little villages, only deliver Hesped in the big cities, because he was the chief rabbi. And it's a bizoyan for the chief rabbi that he should have only 25 people attend a funeral, 25 people attend a Hesped. So he said, they should only deliver Hespedim in the big cities where there'll be a big crowd. That's what Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi said. So Rabbi Blazer Silva said, Al Tispeduni Bayoris, don't deliver a Hesped in little villages, because in Yiddish there's an expression, a person has a mind, a klein shtetl dicker mind. He can't think in a big oifen. He's not a big thinker. There he has small hasogas. He doesn't really think on a big scale. So he said, so Rabbi Blazer Silva said, you just heard Hespedim from villages, first to it. Now we're going to have a Hesped from a band of the world. Rabbi Soloveitchik is going to deliver a Hesped. He delivered a Mayuridiga Hesped for Rabbi Chaim Isaac. That's printed in one of his volumes. Yeah, so that was one of the expressions that he has there. Yadim Malach Lachas Badam Shviru B'Shuli. That Hesped is famous because that's what Rabbi Riskin was not happy about, because he develops the whole theme of what Das Torah is all about. Rabbi Chaim Isaac was a super genius, not only in learning, in politics. He had a feel for politics. That's what Rabbi Soloveitchik said when he used to visit Rabbi Chaim Isaac when he was in Berlin in university, and his parents already were in America, so he couldn't talk to his parents. So he used to go visit. He went by train to Vilna to talk and learning with Rabbi Chaim Isaac. All the yeshiva guys used to talk to Rabbi Chaim Isaac and learning. So he says, on one occasion they were talking about the possibility of Hakamas Medinas Yisrael, because that was on the agenda in the Aguda Knesi Agdola. They were talking about it, whether it makes sense to. So he says, Rabbi Chaim Isaac said, when hair will grow on the palm of my hand, then I'll be a Medina. Means in the near future, it's just not going to be. And then they established the Medina in 1948. It was so connected what anybody in the world thought. It was Lamayla Menateba, the Hakamas HaMedina, that was recognized by Russia and recognized by Harry Truman and recognized by the United Nations. No one could have believed that it was going to happen. There was a Nes Min HaShemayim. And the people that don't want to recognize it, mamish, they're blind as a bat. How can you not recognize it? It was those who were living at that time. They said it was connected anything. No one would have believed that the world would recognize the Medina, that the Jews would ever establish a Medina there.
Call
the
Mises Shot, the people that don't believe.
Yes.
But I don't know how they know the difference.
Yeah.
How they know the difference.
Yeah.
What's the Satmar
Rebbe said that all the victories that the Israeli army has is all the Mises Shot, the Satan is running the world. So Rabbi Moshe Feinstein said it's Apikursus. God runs the world, the Satan doesn't run the world. How can you say that? Everything in Eretz Yisrael is Mises Satan. Everything is Nisim and Hashemayim. What does the Gemara say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Yaakov Avinu, Hine Nehimoch, Ishmatich Bochal Asher Telech. So why was he afraid later when he came back to Eretz Yisrael? Why was he afraid? HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised him, I'm going to protect you. The answer was he was concerned. Shem Yigra Machet. The promise only applies if he doesn't sin. He knew that he did sin. So he was afraid. Shem Yigra Machet. Kiditanya, like we have a brassad. Yavram Chashem, Yavram Sukhani. So what does he say twice? Yavram Chashem, Zubir Rishonah. That's doesn't mean Bir Rishayna in marriage. It means Bir Rishayna the first time he entered Eretz Yisrael. There's even Shul Ben Nun. Ad Yavram Zukanisa Bir Shnir, and it means when he entered Eretz Yisrael after 7 years of Golas Bavel in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. So Ruim Ha Yisrael Asas Lam Neis B'Mezer Kedosh Nas Lam Neis Mei Yisrael Ben Nun. They deserved that. It should have been with Nisim and Eflois that they should take over Eretz Yisrael the second time. What was the Gora Machet? What Chet? The Chet that they didn't want to come back. When Koresh, Melech Babel, gave permission to the Jews to go back to Israel, no one wanted to go back. They wanted to stay in Chutz Lartz. So because of that, Gora Machet, so that's why the Haftocha was not fulfilled. Yeah, this is a problem. The Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos, whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a Nebuah the Toivo, so the Nebuah is unconditional. The Nebuah will be fulfilled. Whenever he gives in Levua Leroa, that someone's going to be punished, like Ora Banyon Vinin Vein Nepachas. And it didn't happen. The answer is in Levua Leroa, Levua, the Nainish, is understood to be Allah Tanai. If the people will do tshuva, then Ninveh will not be Nepachas, so the people did tshuva, so the city Ninveh was not destroyed. But in Levua Leteuva is absolutely going to be fulfilled. The Rama quotes it in Hilchas Yisari HaTorah, when he quotes, how do you test a Novi? To know whether he's a Novi Emes or a Novi Sheker. So he predicts something in the future. So if it takes place, if he predicts a solar eclipse, and it says in the newspaper, there's going to be a solar eclipse, and there's no big Kiddush, we could figure it out without him. But if he predicts something that no one thought was going to happen, it's going to be HaKamas HaMedina and He'ir Tov Shinches. No one thought that was going to happen. So then, that's a simon, that's a noise for the Novi. So what happens if the Novi predicts something and it doesn't happen? So that shows that he's a Novi Asheka. What if he predicts a punishment and it doesn't happen? So the Rambam quotes the Gemara, that doesn't prove that he's a Novi Asheka, because it's understood in the Nevuah Leroa is always conditional. But in the Nevuah Leteuva, that something wonderful is going to happen, is assumed not to be conditional. So what do you do with this Gemara? Here Yaakov Avinu was given the Nevuah Hinech, Imach Hishmatich B'chol Asher Teilech. So Yitzchak Chanan has in the Hakdamah to his Shadlis, the Tshuva says, yes, that Kasha. So he answers, the Nevuah Leteuva is going to be fulfilled, it's not assumed to be Allah Tanai, that's if the Nevuah was delivered to someone else. So there's no other way to test whether the person is a Novi Emes, Novi Asheker, if the Nevuah will not be fulfilled. You see that it's a Novi Asheker. But if it's a private Nevuah, the Rebbe Shlom told Yaakov Avinu, Hine Nechimo Cheshmatich B'chol Ashetel. That was a private Nevuah. There was no question whether he's a Novi Emes, Novi Asheker. He knows he got a Nevuah. So he understands on his own. Nevuah is conditional. If Shema Yigar Machet, if he's going to sin, then the promise doesn't apply. But whenever the Nevuah was intended to be delivered to someone else, and then this is a way to test, to determine whether the Navi is a Navi Emes or Navi Asheker, so then it's assumed that it's not on a condition, that it's going to be the Hechlet, that it's going to happen. That's Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan's Hakdamah to the Shabbos of Shuvos. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. The answer is good for Hina and Echimach Shmatich B'chol Shetel. That was a private Nevuah. Ad Yavaram Hashem, they all sang together. I don't know. Maybe they all had Ruach HaKadosh and they all said it together. It wasn't delivered. By the Novi to the Bnei Yisrael. They all said it. I don't know. I don't remember. He probably talks about it. Yeah, what do you have on Amun Beis? You have the Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Shlomo Malevi, whether you require Smichas Gula L'Tfila Balayla. What is the Nekudas of Machlokes B'maykom Efligi? So the Gemara says, Ibois Eim Akro, Ibois Eim Osvor. You see on the side of the Gemara, how many places they have a long note over there in the Masoras HaShas in brackets. Yivamas Lamed Hei, Kedushin Lamed Hei, all these places where it says such a line. Ibois Eim Akro, yeah, usually on the side of the Gemara, they don't give you the whole list. Usually on the side of the Gemara, they tell you, Ayin Taisus Shavuos. The Taisus and Shavuos has a kasha. How can the Gemara say, Boi Yisei Mekro, Boi Yisei Mesvara, if something is a Svara, it's Kro Lama Li Svarahu. The Gemara says, Hamotzeh Mechaber Olaf Arayzel, and that from a Pasuk. The Gemara says, Lama Li Kro Svarahu, whatever is a Svara is a Din Deraisa. You don't need a pasuk. So why did the Gemara say "Boy same mikro, boy same svar"? If it's a svar, you don't need a pasuk. So Taisa says, if it's a svar that's so compelling, then you don't need a pasuk. Okay? Now even a blind man can see that svar. But sometimes the svar is not so compelling. There's room to dingzach. That's how Rav Sadia Gaon has in his Sefer Emunas V'Deos. So Sadia Gaon writes the 263 ideas. I told you about that. That someone, some professor, wrote about Rav Sadia Gaon. He didn't realize Reis Sama Gimel is Rosh HaTevis Rav Sadia Gaon. He thought Reis Sama Gimel is 263 Emunas V'Deos. 263 ideas and principles. Didn't realize that. That's the author's name was Reis Sama Gimel. And the name of the book is Emunas V'Deos. So Rav Sadia Gaon asked Akasha. First he proves logically that God exists and there's only one God. Then he asked Akasha, why did God have to reveal himself? Why did he need a Gila Shechina to prove that he exists and there's only one God? We could have proved it philosophically. We could have proved that all of these based on logic. So he says, because there are Apikursim who think so. There's only Apikursim don't believe in God. So that's what Rebbe Shalom. That's the Kasha. Lomali cross Svaru. You can prove it philosophically and logically. So the answer is, this Svaru is not Muskam Lako. There's room to think. So Rebbe Shalom had to show you, Klor and Daitlov, the Feirish, that he exists and there's only one God. Yeah. So that's what you usually have that on the side of the Gemara. Here it says Shvuscha Beis on Beis Ein Sham the Taisus, and the whole list that they have on the margin, that's where that Taisus, a little Taisus, a Taisus says that answer. How did the Gemara say Lama? How did the Gemara say Ibai say Mikra Ibai say Misvar? If it's a Svar, you're not a Pasuk. They say because there's room to Dingzach on the Svar. So what does the Gemara say? What's the issue of my Kamif League? What's Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan? Where they need Smichas Gula L'Tfila Balayla? Question is that Pari came running, he was petrified at the Vayibach Tzia Laila V'Hashem Hiko Kol B'chor Be'eretz Mitzrayim. He was a b'chor, he was the firstborn, so he thought he was going to die. So he made an official declaration, he's freeing the Jewish people. Until now you are Avodim L'Para, from now on you are Avodim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Halo Abdei Hashem V'lo Abdei Para. You're not slaves anymore to Para. So he freed them officially at midnight, right after Makkas B'choris. But then they didn't go out of the houses because Moshe Rabbeinu told them, "Al yetzi ish m'pesach b'esad b'oker." No one's allowed to leave till the morning. So the gula shleima, gula ma'al yisad, the Gemara calls it, gula me'orta nami havi. The Gemara has on the first wide line. There are narrow lines and wide lines and very wide lines. So in the wide line, the medium-sized line, so the Gemara said, "Balayla, there was gula me'orta nami havi. There was gula." Para came and he said, "I'm freeing you." But because they weren't allowed to leave the houses, Al Yetzi Yishim Pesach Beisah Berkah said that was Gula Ma'al Yisah, when they actually left Mitzrayim, that was only in the morning. So that's the Machlekes, whether the Gula at night counts as a Gula, the Hascholos HaGula, does that count as a Gula, that you should require Smichus Gula Vatfil. So one of the Gedolim in Europe who was killed by the Nazi was known as Rabban Levin. He was the Aguda representative in the parliament, in the Polish parliament. Just like in America, you have Republicans and Democrats. So there they had 20 different parties. Like in Eretz Yisrael, they have 20 different parties. Each party has one member in the parliament, one or two members. So they were. So the Aguda, for a couple of years, had all the religious Jews voted for Aguda. And they had a representative in the parliament. And he spoke Polish very well. He spoke Yiddish very well. He was a very good speaker. And he spoke Polish very well. His grandson, Aaron Levin, used to teach here, and he was the head of economics in Yeshiva. He happened to be my first cousin. His mother was my aunt. So Rabban Levin was killed by the Nazis in the middle of the war. So he has a Sefer on Brochus. So in his Sefer, he has a suggestion. So I thought it's a Polish Ishtikol Torah. And then I saw the Rabbeinu Tam has along those lines. So maybe Rabbeinu Tam is also a Polish Ishtikol. So he says there's a Machloikis in Chulin, whether when you shech the beima, you have to shech the roiv of the kohen and the roiv of the veishen. So the Gemara has a machlokes, yesh l'shchita metchila b'atzof, or ein l'shchita el l'besof. When do we label it as a ma'aser shchita? From the beginning to the end? Or you say, no, only when he does the final mashahu, cutting from machza machza to make a roiv of the second simen. First you shecht one simen, first you shecht, I think, which is on the outside, the windpipe is first, then the food pipe is further in, I think so. First you shech the kohen, I think then you shech the veshed is behind it. So when you shech the kohen, it's not yet called shechita. When you shech the veshed, those are not called shechita. Only cutting the last mashahu, that's mashlim from machza a machza to make a roiv, that's called the maisa shechit. So Gemara has what's an afkamina? It's machlekes hamaran. So there it's machlekes, I think Rabbi Yechanan and Levi. So he suggests in his sefer, that's Lishitasam. Rabbi Shua ben Levi is the son of Levi. He's not so sure about that. He starts fishing around. Is that true? Rabbi Shua ben Levi was the son of Levi? Or maybe he was someone else? So he assumes Rabbi Shua ben Levi was the son of Levi, and he holds like his father. That's also not necessarily so. You have Tanaim and Amoraim who are sons of their fathers, but they learned by a different Tana. They learned by someone else, and they didn't agree in halacha with their fathers. So he has this suggestion that Rabbi Yochanan Lishitasai holds Yeshna Lishchita Metchila V'Atzof, so he holds Yeshna Lugula Metchila V'Atzof. Rabbi Shimon Levi holds like Levi, Ein Lishchita El Lebesof. So I thought it's a pshetl. What does one have to do with the other? But the Rabbi Natam has a tshuva in the Sefer Yosher. Rabbi Natam, Rashi's grandson, wrote a book that's called Sefer Yosher. So the first half are Chidushim on the Mesichtas, and the second half are the Tshuvas. So in the Tshuvas, he writes, he puts together two things that I would never have dreamt of putting together. He says, Yesh in the Shchirus, Metchila Batsof, Ein L'Shchirus Ha'el L'Besof, is connected with the Shaila, Yesh in the Shchita, Metchila Batsof, Ein L'Shchita Ha'el L'Besof. Gemara has a machloikas. I hire a painter to paint this building. The building is so big, it's going to take him 2 months, and he's going to charge me $15,000 to paint the whole building. So I agreed to pay him the $15,000. So when do I become mechuyev to pay? So one opinion is, ein l'shchiras ela l'besof. I become obligated to pay the $15,000 when he does the final stroke of work. The whole time it takes him 2 months, he's painting, smearing, painting, I don't owe him a penny. If he quits on me, that's the end. So then I owe him, you prorate it. He only did half the work, only did one third of the work, so I have to figure out how much I owe him. But if he does the whole job, I don't owe him a penny till he does the makor shachron, till he does the last klap of work, and then I owe him the full amount of the $15,000. We don't really hold like that. We pass in Yesh and Tzchiris, Metchila V'Atzof. The Gemara has it in Avodah Zarah, the Gemara has it in Masechas Kiddushin, with Nafkaminis V'Hilchas Avodah Zarah, Nafkaminis V'Hilchas Kiddushin. So we pass in Yesh and Tzchiris, Metchila V'Atzof. Every stroke that he does, I owe him another penny, I owe him another penny, I owe him another penny, till it adds up to the $15,000. So Rabbi Natan in the Sefer Yosher puts these two machloikas in together. Whether the Yesh and the Shchiras Metchila V'Atzof, and the Shchiras Ha'Lila V'Atzof, the Yesh and the Shchit Metchila V'Atzof, and the Shchit Ha'Lila V'Atzof. I would have thought that totally unrelated. I would have thought that's like a Polish Ishtikul Tar, just because the Loshen is the same, so he put them together. That's what Rab Chaim made fun of that. Chaim had the famous, he was making fun of the Polish style of learning. So whenever the same phrase appears, Metchila V'Atzof, Ein Ha'Lila V'Atzof. So they put everything all together. So he said, Rab Chaim said that in order to say Sheva Brachas, you have to have a Parim Chadoshes. And there's a mission in the end of Tmura that had a Sraf and Nafra Mutter. If you have oil on Kloya Karim and you burn it, or if you have that, so Tyson, if you have Pigal Noise and Tommy, you burn it, so then the ash is amuta, and it's rough and afra muta. So if you don't have any panim chadash, say shavu brachas, take some wood and burn it and take the ashes. And you have panim chadash, so you can say shavu brachas. Panim chadash. So just because the same word appears over there and over here, panim chadash, doesn't mean it's the same thing. Just because it's the same style. Yesh and l'shchita metchila v'asof, ein l'shchita ela v'asof. Yesh and l'shchiris metchila v'asof, ein l'shchiris ela v'asof means that it's the same issue that they're connected. I would have thought they're totally unconnected. But the Rabbi Natan puts it together. So I can't have Titus against the Reisha Rav. He was the Rabbi in Reisha. Abraham Levine was the Rabbi in Reisha. Reisha is an airport in Reisha. The airport is 2x0, but it's not the little village. The airport is in Reisha. Some of the tshuvas he wrote, Abnei Chayfetz, he wrote Shalosh tshuvas. Some of the tshuvas were written on the train when he was traveling to and from the meetings of the parliament. He wrote the Tshuvas Baal Peh, and then when he got home, he would fill in all the missing marmakaymas, and sometimes he didn't fill in all the marmakaymas. So sometimes some of the Tshuvas have parentheses, as it says in the Yerushalmi, and doesn't say where it is, as the Shach writes in Yerideya, and he doesn't say where it is in Yerideya. He was one of the Gedolim of the time. Yeah. So that's the Gemara's machlokes. The Nitzchir Smichas Gula Latfila Balaylo on that. Yeah. What does the Gemara say? Kaloi v'adir ha-chachamim chayiv misa. You violate the misa derabanan, you deserve misa b'dei shamayim. Doesn't mean misa is bezni, you deserve misa b'dei shamayim. The Gemara asked, why did they mention it over here? Ma'ashdam b'chal duch the look of Tani Chai Misa, ma'ashnoch the Tani Chai Misa, here, 15 lines, 18 lines from the top, Dalin on the base. Gemara says, because people come home, they're exhausted, so if you're going to be a, if you're going to eat supper before you dav Ma'ariv, you're going to probably fall asleep, and you're going to forget to dav, and you're going to forget to say Kriya Shema. So that's why we're here. They mention Kol Ava Dir Chacham B'Chai Misa. Rabbi Kivegar is Mitzayin that you should look in Erevin Chafalev. In Erevin Chafalev, the Gemara tells the story that the Roman government killed Rabbi Akiva. He was one of the Asari Haruga Malchus. So they put him in prison, and before they decided to kill him, so they gave him hardly any food to eat. They gave him just enough to survive. So they gave him a cup of water to drink and bread to eat. So he, instead of using the water to drink, he shouldn't dehydrate. He washed until his adayim before he ate the bread. So the Talmud, one of the Talmidim was there who brought him the food from the prison guard to give to Rebbe Kiva. So he said, Rebbe, why don't you drink the water? What are you washing until his adayim? It's a safik sakanas nefashis. You can die from dehydration. So he said, he'd rather die from dehydration than die as a punishment. One who eats bread without washing until the sedaim is Peretz Geri Shechen Onochash. He'll be punished for violating the Takana de Rabban. That was a Midas Chassidus. Al Pidin, it's not so. Al Pidin, the Talmud was right. Rabbi Akiva was a holy tzaddik, so he didn't want to violate the din. Maybe he knew he was going to die anyway. That's an application of this din. So that's a din. The top Tosfos says on Dalan and Beis Mikan Mashma. In this Gemara would appear that you're not allowed to eat before you say Kriya Shema, before you dav Ma'ariv. What do you mean Mikan Mashma? It's black and white. Why is it Mashma? That's Rabbi Kivegar Mishnayis asks that. Why do they say Mikan Mashma? So some, the Magen Avraham has a machlokes, quotes a machlokes. Before Shacharis, not only are you not allowed to eat a whole meal, a whole sandwich, you're not allowed to even have te'ima before you daven Shacharis. So that's a machlokes achrenim. Does that apply to Ma'ariv as well? Is it such a din that even te'ima is also? You say, no, you're not allowed to eat supper. You're not allowed to eat supper before. Some people think you're only not allowed to eat before Ma'ariv if you wash for bread, if you don't wash for bread now. I don't think that's correct at all. A lot of people don't wash for bread all week long. I don't wash for bread. I eat a whole filling supper. You're not allowed to eat supper before you daven Ma'ariv. Some achrayim have a kula if you have a shomer. If you ask someone, please remind me to daven Ma'ariv. Or if you have a minyan kavua, you always daven Ma'ariv at 10 o'clock. So you're not going to forget. You're going to learn in Beis Medrash. You're going to eat supper. The Seder ends at 6:30 in Beis Medrash. The guy's going to go eat supper. So ready this month from Ma'ariv, he's going to go eat supper. Then he's going to daven 10 o'clock. He always daven 10 o'clock at night. So the Be'er Sheva, Be'er Sheva lived a long time ago. Be'er Sheva was a Talmud of whom? I forgot already. Be'er Sheva lived in the 1500s, I think. I think he lived in the 1500s. So he has, at the end of his sefer, he has something called Esrim Geira. He had complains about 20 kulas that the people are noyig that he thinks are incorrect. So this is one of them that he doesn't like. He says, what do you mean? Who says you can rely on a minyan kavua? He may decide to go to sleep and not to daven Ma'ariv the minyan kavua. Who says you can rely on a shomer? Maybe the shomer is going to fall asleep and the shomer is going to forget to remind you. Arba charba boy. Point the shomer, he's the orev, he's going to see to it, you don't forget. Who's going to watch that he shouldn't forget? So he doesn't like that. It's not right. More correct is you should have married before you eat supper. Anyway, so that's a machlag, whether te'ima is also rosa. You're not allowed to have te'ima before you have married. So that's what someone to say, mikam mashma, that Tosis meant to add on from the Gemara. It's not explicit. It meant to add on that even te'ima is also. But if that's the whole word, then the ikar is chosim and ha-sefer. Tos doesn't say. Tos says, "Ein lo lechol suder." If that's what Tos meant, you should have said, "Ein lo litom." So it's a problem. You don't know what they say. Mikam mashma. It's not explicit. Then they say lechol suder. That's explicit. I'm not sure what Tos is driving.
Does setting an alarm clock help the problem of shomer falling asleep?
Yeah, it makes better sense than relying on the shomer. Yeah, but still, the question is that right? Is that right? More correct is to find a minyan, to daven early. here. Then Gemara asked Akasha, what is Mishmichus Gula Tefillah? By Ma'ariv, we say Gwali So, and then you say Hashkivenu. So isn't that a violation of Mishmichus Gula Tefillah? We pass on like Rabbi Yechanan, that you do need Mishmichus Gula Tefillah by Ma'ariv. But if you say Hashkivenu, it's a violation. So the Gemara says, since the Chachamim were Misakna Hashkivenu, we consider it like Gula Arichta. And similar to that, the Gemara says you have to have smichus gula l'tfilo by shachris l'chaladeis. But Rabbi Yechanan said you should say before you start Shmon Esrei, you should say Hashem Tzvos Haytiftach. So isn't the reciting Hashem Tzvos Haytiftach a hefzik in between the bracha Gual Yisrael and the beginning of the Shmon Esrei? So the answer is since the Chacham made a takana that you have to recite that pasuk Hashem Tzvos Haytiftach, that's considered k'tfilo arichta. So the same thing Hashkevenu is considered kegula arichta. So we had a machlokes between the Rashba and the Ravid. The Rashba quotes the Ravid and he disagrees with him. What does it mean in the Gemara? So some Rishonim say, and machlokes Achrayim also about that. Some Rishonim and Achrayim hold that whatever the Chachamim are misakan is not called a hefsek. That's what it means. And similar to what we found in the Rosh on Arvei Psochim, the Gemara in Arvei Psochim says that when Yontif falls out on Matzoi Shabbos, so you say Kiddush and Havdalah over the same cup of wine. Gemara gives a Rashi Tevis. You say Yak Nahaz, Yain Kiddush Ner Havdalah Zman. In German, Ahaz is a rabbit. So in the old Haggadahs, they used to have Yak Nahaz, and they had a picture of a rabbit because the publisher thought that Yak Nahaz is a rabbit. That's one of the jokes of Jewish literature, of Jewish publication society. Yeah. So Yak Nahaz has nothing to do with the rabbit. Okay. So the Rosh poses a question. When you say Bar Piagofen, then you say Kiddush Ner Havdalah Shachyanu, and then you drink the wine. So you said four brachas in between the Bar Piagofen till you get the Kiddush Ner Havdalah Zman, a hefsek. So the Rosh, so some Rishonim were led to believe that a bracha is not a hefsek. A bracha is not a hefsek. So let's say the Gemara is not allowed to talk in between. The Gemara has a Neles Perik. Not allowed to talk in between Shal Yad and Shal Rosh. But if you say Amen Yehesh Merabi, you answer bracha, you say a bracha, that's okay. Whatever is a bracha is okay. So some Rishonim extended it, some Balabatim extended it already. That since saying a bracha, answering Amen Yehesh Merabi is not a hefsek, so to speak Baloshna Kodesh is a mitzvah. That's the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnah is on Pirkei Avos. Says Havizar b'mitzvah kala kavach hamura shein ati adeh matan tzchon shal mitzvah. So the Rambam says, what's a mitzvah hamura? Sitzes in the field and a kriya shma all the mitzvahs we know about. What's a mitzvah kala? So the Rambam gives a moshel in the Pirush HaMishnah is ledaber b'loshna kodesh, because the people don't realize that that too is a mitzvah. So since ledaber b'loshna kodesh is a mitzvah, so people had the attitude that whenever you're not allowed to be mapsik, so you can talk about the middle of Shmona Esrei, you can talk b'loshna kodesh, because that's not a hefsek. So you have the Europeans, the old year. I remember when I was a little boy, there were a lot of Europeans around. So that was a common practice by the Europeans. Whenever you're not allowed to talk in Middle Shmona Esrei, they wouldn't talk in Yiddish or in English. They would talk in Hebrew. That's a mitzvah. So Tosfos has to point that out. When the Mishnah says, you're allowed to be mafsik, mipnei akova, mipnei ayira, where was it? Daf Yud Gimel, Daf Yud Dalet. So Tosfos points out, Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, the second Tosfos on the top, Ube'emtza. Rabbeinu Shmaya Paskin, the B'mok Mishal said the Sapa, said the Dabba, Afilu B'loshna Kainish. Why? Because they thought that the Dabba B'loshna Kainish is a mitzvah, so just like you're allowed to say a bracha in between Shal Yad and Shal Rosh, that we don't accept that either. We say, you're not allowed to answer Omen Yehesh Meirab. So the Rosh poses the question, Yak Nahaz, isn't it a hefsek? So he quotes, there are those who say, whenever you say bracha, it's not a hefsek, and we don't accept that. So what's taka the answer with the yaknaz? He said, it's not a kasha in the first place. The same chachamim who made the takana, that you have to recite birchas hanenin over the food, and you shouldn't be mafsek in between the reciting of the bracha and the eating of the food, they were the ones who made the takana. That did say yaknaz, ve'emomro, since they're the ones who made the takana. So you can't say that that's a hefsek. So half of the Rishonim say that hashkiveinu is not part of gula, it's not part of tefillah. And Hashem saw said tifach, it's not part of gula, it's not part of tefillah. But since kach tikno chachamim, so whatever chacham amisakan, it's not called a hefsek. That's what some say. And other Rishonim say no. Hashem saw said Tiftach is an integral part of the Shemana Esrei, and that's what the Gemara said. It's not a hefsek because it's the beginning of the Shemana Esrei. Ketfila richta damya. And Hashkibenu is not a hefsek because it's a hemshach of Goal Yisrael. Which way is Hashkibenu a hemshach of Goal Yisrael? So Rabbeinu Yoina says that they on Leil Yitzias Mitzrayim, they were told that there's going to be Makas Becharis, and Al Yetzias from Pesach Pesach at Berken, the Jews shouldn't worry, Makas Becharis are not going to affect them, and they should all go to sleep at home. So they were scared, they were petrified, and the right and the left all over. The dead bodies all over. Every home, ain't by such a rain shall mace, and the Jewish people had no mason at all. But they were nervous. So they offered a prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashkiveinu Hashem Elkeinu Hamidenu L'chaim M'sholem. Let us go to sleep in peace, we shouldn't die, and we should wake up in the morning, we shouldn't die in the middle of the sleep. Because they knew there were going to be dead people all over in the next door neighbors. They lived among all of the Mitzrim. So that's what the Rabbeinu Yoina gives that explanation to explain that it's literally Hashkiveinu is Gula Arich Tadamya. So that's really a big machloika. That's what the Mishnah Brewer raises, the suffix. What's the din if a person daven Shemana Esrei? He didn't say Hashem Sosa Tiftach. Is it really Ketfila Richta Damya? And he's left out the first line in the Shemana Esrei, Asvara, that you're not Yotze. But maybe you should say no. That really it's a pasuk that you recite before you start Shemana Esrei. Shemana Esrei starts Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu. It doesn't start from Hashem Sosa Tiftach. That's an introduction. And if you said the Shemana Esrei without the introduction, you'd also be Yotze. So that's how the Mishnah Brewer raises the suffix. So he says, maybe you can prove the point from the fact that Mogen Avram quotes from the Arizal that when the Chazan repeats the Shemana Esrei out loud, he should say the whole Chazar Sashat to call Ram, but Hashem Sosa said Tiftach, he should say softly. Why do you say it softly? So if it's a Hakdomet to the Tefillah, Tefillah begins, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu. Okay, so he said the whole Tefillah out loud. But if you hold that it's an integral part of the Shemana Esrei, shouldn't you have to say it the Kol Ram? Why did Arizal say that you only say Balash? Does not seem to indicate that it's an introduction to the Shemana Esrei. So as the Mishnah Brewer tries to give an answer, he says maybe it's really an integral part of the Shemana Esrei, but there's no need to say it out loud. That's really problematic. That Magen Avraham is problematic because the Achronim all say, he quotes from the Arizal, and they say the Arizal never said it. They say the Beis HaKnesset Arizal, they did say Hashem Sosa Tiftach Atla. What's the Sefer on the, I forgot the name of the Sefer, Amaseches Yuma, there's a Sefer that's always quoted on the side of the Daf. I forgot the Rosh Hashanah. What? Siach Yitzchak. So there's a Siach Yitzchak about Svarish Achren. Somebody Nunes, I think. I don't know who he is. Yitzchak Nunes. So the Siach Yitzchak has a Sefer on the Siddur, on the Nusach HaTfilah. And he talks about each Baruch and Nishmana Esrei. He has a Sefer on Yuma, and he has a Sefer on Chagiga, and the end of the Sefer on Chagiga has on the Nusach HaTfilah. So on the Sefer on Nusach HaTfilah, he says, doesn't know what the Magen Avraham is talking about. He never found it in the Kisvi HaRizal, and the Beis HaKnesset Sari in Eretz Yisrael. They say Hashem Sosa Tiftach Atlau. The Yosemech also shows that a lot of Rishonim seem to hold that you should say Hashem Sosa Tiftach Atlau. There are still a lot of kehilas in Eretz Yisrael, Sfardish kehilas, but they all say Hashem Sosa Tiftach Atlau. That's Rav Soloveitchik used to encourage. He always insisted you have to say Hashem Sosa Tiftach. People made a mistake. They think he held have to say Kishem Hashem Ekro, or we'll go to the little kind of also Atlau. That you don't have to say. That the Gemara never said. That's a hefsek. You don't say Kishem Hashem Ekro by Shachris and by Ma'ariv. You only said it by Musaf and by Mincha. Those who say Rav Soloveitchik didn't say it at all. But Tosfos says there were those who said it by Musaf and by Mincha, but there's no din of hefsek at all. But no one ever said that Kishem Hashem Ekra is an integral part of the Tefillah. That the Gemara never said.
What about Baruch
Hashem Right, so Baruch Hashem Yoram, that's what Tosfos raises the issue. So Tosfos said, just like Ashkeveinu was introduced, the Takana that it's Gula Arichta, so Baruch Hashem Yoram is also Gula Arichta. How is it Gula Arichta? It has nothing to do with Gula. So probably Tosfos sounds like they held, whatever is a Takanas Chachamim is not called a Hefsek. The only shayla is Takanas Chachamim would make sense if the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah made the Takanah. The question is, who's the one who came up with the Takanah to say Hashem Sosa Tiftach? Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Yochanan is inventing his own idea, or he's quoting it from Tanoim. It's very unclear. The Gemara sounds like he was the one who originated it. So he also had the right to make a takana, and Baruch Hashem Li'olam is post-Talmudic. It was developed in the days of the Gaonim, apparently. The Rishonim had it not from the days of the Gemara, that was in the days of the Gaonim. Also, whatever the Chachamim Amisak, and even a later generation, also is not considered a hefsek. Yeah, that's the Shaila. The Gemara says in the end of Yuma, when you say Vidoyan Yom Kippur, the Yochid Omer Achat Filosai. The Yochid finishes the whole Shemana Esrei, then he says Vidoy Efta. We can't go Seinu. On a table of Achat Filosainu. He says Vidoy Efta. And the Chazar Sashatz, he says the Vidoy in the middle of the Broch Em Tzois. Middle of the Broch of Kedusha Sayyad. So the Ravon was one of the Rishonim. The Ravon in his safe at the end of Yuma says, let's say a person is in the middle of Vidui, and the Chazam is already saying Chazar Sashatz, and he's up to Kedusha. So should I, or let's say, by Mincha and Erev Yom Kippur, the Chazam is saying Kedusha. So am I allowed to answer Kedusha if I'm in the middle of Vidui? Is that considered Be'emtza Tfilosa, or is that considered like Tachnunim Achat Tfilosa? So Tachnunim Achat Tfilosa, you're allowed to answer Kedusha. That's also machlokes. When you're in the middle of Tachnunim Achat Tfilosai, the Gemara has later, we didn't get to it yet, the Gemara has one opinion in the Gemara that Omen Yeheshmei Rabba is so important you're allowed to answer even in the middle of Tfilah Balachash. So the Gemara says, we don't accept that. We passing in not allowed to. What if the person is saying Tachnunim Achat Tfilosai? So then the Goyim say, you can answer Omen Yeheshmei Rabba. So that's a big machlokes. What does that mean? So some say only Omen Yeheshmei Rabba, not Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu. Omen Yeheshmei Rabba is more chomer than that. Atke Dekach, there was one opinion that you're allowed to answer even in the middle of Tefillah Balachash. So that we say you're not allowed to because it says V'dibarta bom v'loy v'tefillah. So it says in the beginning of the second paragraph. Yigmar Yuma, Daf Yitessan and Beis V'dibarta bom v'loy v'tefillah, that you're not allowed to be mafsik in the middle of Shemana Esrei. In the middle of Kriya Shema v'dibarta bom, you're permitted to be mafsik m'pnei HaKovid m'pnei HaYirat. They're not program, that's not Perek and Sof. But in the middle of Shemana Esrei, you're not allowed to be mafsik at all. So that's a gzeres akasu. That's why you're not allowed to answer Omen Yeheshmei Rabba. But in the middle of Tachnun Amachat Tfilosai, that gzeres akasu doesn't apply. So we allow you to answer Omen Yeheshmei Rabba, but that's all. Not to answer Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu. That's one opinion. And we don't pass like that. We pass in, you're allowed to answer Kadosh Kadosh and Baruch Hu Hashem and Baruch. You're allowed to answer Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu in the middle of Tachnun Amachat Tfilosai. So the shaila is, what if the Yochid is saying Vidui on Yom Kippur at the end of the Shemana Esrei? Is that considered an integral part of the Shemana Esrei? So you're not allowed to answer Omen Yehesh, you're not allowed to answer Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu? Or is that considered like Tachnun Amachat Tfilosa? So you are allowed to. So the Ravon writes, the Loshon Agamar in the end of Yuma, towards the Mamash, the end of Yuma, is HaYochid Oimra Achat Tfilosa. Achat Tfilosa means that he finished the whole Shemana Esrei. He already finished. Oh, so that's a machlekes achreinim. Should the yochid say yil ratzon before he says alakenu kaseinu on the table of menachat tfilosainu? Should he say yil ratzon before he says the vidui, or he should not say? So what's the machlekes? So if the Ravon assumes that davar poshut that the vidui is recited achat tfilosainu means not as an integral part of the Shemana Esrei, so what are the achreinim fighting about? Whether you say yil ratzon? Is Yul HaRatzon an integral part of the Shemana Esrei? Yul HaRatzon is probably whatever Hashem Svas at Tiptach is at the beginning, Yul HaRatzon is at the end. The Rabbi Yechon says in both, in one breath, in Shem Achas, he says both. So that was the Machlokes HaRishon, whether Hashem Svas at Tiptach is Tfilah Arichta, literally it's an integral part of the Tfilah. Oh, no, since Tiknach HaKach, Tiknach HaKham is not a Hefsek, but it's not an integral part of the Tfilah, it's a Hakdamah to the Tfilah. The same thing Yul HaRatzon at the end. Is that an integral part of the tefillah? That, let's say, I finished the tefillah Balachash and the Chazan is ready up to Kedusha. So do I have to say Yul HaRatzon in my feed in order to be allowed to answer the Kedusha? They say, no, you don't have to say Yul HaRatzon. You finished with the Shemana Esrei already. So the Mechaber Paskins, Halacha Maaseh, Mechaber quotes the Tshuvos HaRashba and the Tshuvos HaRitva. They both say the same thing. If the Yochid finished the Shemana Esrei, but he didn't yet say Yil HaRatzon in my feet, he's not allowed to answer Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu. So the Mechaber Paskin Halacha that Yil HaRatzon is considered an Etzem Chelek, an integral part of the Shemana Esrei. It's not called Tachnun Amachat Tfilosa. So according to the Rabban claims the Diuk Loshon HaGemara, the end of the Yuma is Yochid Omer Achat Tfilosai. Achat Tfilosai means after he finished the whole Shemana Esrei. So then you should really say Yil Ratzon before. And some Achronim say, no, you don't say Yil Ratzon before. They probably hold like the other Rishonim. That was the Machlokes, the Rashba and the Raavad. They hold like the other Rishonim that Hashem Sosa Tiftach is not an integral part of the Shemana Esrei. Just whatever the Chachamim and Misakan is not considered a Hefzik, but it's really not part of the Shemana Esrei. So when you get to the end of the Shemana Esrei, Amrachas Hamisol Bashalom, you finish. Even before you say Yil Ratzon, so you can say right away, the Vidui, okay, the Kavaseinu, on the Tavla Hanach, the Hosseini can say right away, you don't have to say Yil Ratzon. So the Pashto says that that's the Machlokes HaKohanim. They both agree with the Ravon that the Vidui should be recited Ach HaGmar Tfilosai, but the Machlokes is, when is the Gmar HaTfilah? Is it over when you say Hamrachas Hamisol Bashalom? Is it over when you say the next Pasuk, Yil Ratzon Emerifi?
How do we
pass? We pass, before you say Yil Ratzon Emerifi, you're not allowed to answer Kaddish Kedusha and Baruch Hu. It's considered an integral part of the Shemana Esrei. So why? That's why you should pass, like that's what the Mishnah Berurah raised the issue. She really should have said that the Chazan should say Hashem Sosa Tiftach out loud. It should be an integral part of the Shemana Esrei. That's what the Osamech brings a lot of rayas, that a lot of Rishonim say the Feresh like that. That you do say Hashem Sosa Tiftach out loud. And the Chazan should also say Yil Ratzon. It's also machlokes. The Mechaber holds that the Chazan doesn't have to say Yil Ratzon Emerifi at all. Doesn't have to say it at all. And even on the Gaon disagrees. He says, no, the Chazan should say.
Mishnah
Berurah
says
to
ideally say it twice,
Yil Ratzon.
Say it before.
That's the
Shaloh
came up with that.
Why does it help the
Bishop? No, you say it, because some Rishonim hold that you have to say it when you finish the Shemana Esrei, Amrachim Hamisol Bashalom, Yil Ratzon Emerifi. And others say, no, it's a trina, it's a posik, but it's a trina that one says at the conclusion, at the completion of everything. So when he finishes the lakan, so the Shani Mirah finishes everything, then it says Yil Ratzon. So the Shalom says, may as well satisfy the both opinion. So you say it twice. Right. That's the Shalom said, because it was Machlokes HaRishonim. So to satisfy both opinions, so you say it twice.
Did you say, according to
Shulchan Aruch,
you have to say Hashem
Sosa,
that out loud, and you don't have to say Yil Ratzon at all?
No, it is like the sheet. Just that I was assuming that they both go in the same boat. Hashem Sosa Tiftach before, Yil Ratzon after, should either both should be an integral part of the Shemana Esrei. Both should be a hakdama and an epilogue, a prologue and an epilogue to the Shemana Esrei, an introduction and a conclusion. So the Shulchan Aruch splits between the two. Shulchan Aruch holds that Yil Ratzon is a trine that they say at the end. So the Chazan doesn't have to say it. And Hashem Sosa Tiftach, he says, it's an integral part of the Shemana Esrei. He doesn't equate the two. They're not necessarily the same. So that was a big machlok. So Tosfos raised the issue of a Yiranenu Yismach L'Beinu. Why isn't that a hefsek? So they say, since the Chacham Vam Sakanen, so it's Ketvila Richter. It's not Gula Richter. So you're not asking for anything there. That's the Bakosha. That's Tfilah Richter. Pashtus and Tosis is that they hold that it's Geula Richter. What does that have nothing to do with Geula? It means whatever the Chachamim are Misakan is not called the Hefsek. That's what it sounds like from Tosis. Yeah. The Balatanya and the Vilna Gaon both agree over here the same thing, that you really shouldn't say Yirenenu Yismach L'Beinu. Because number one, it's a shaila from Hefsek. Number two, it's a shaila from Brach Levatola. The Gemara says the Megillah Anshe Knes Hagdoyla composed all the brachas and all the tefillas, and once in a while we add on a little bit. But it says Mekamielach also the Sapa B'Shvach Shalmakim. You're not allowed to compose your own brachas. You're not allowed to compose your own tefillas. So the Pashto says that it's not right to say Baruch Hashem Liolam Amen Yamen Yirei Neinu. This was composed later, in the days of the Rishonim. But Tosfos had the meaning, very strange meaning. Tosfos had the meaning that they do say. So the Balatanya and the Vilna Gaon, they both say the same thing. You shouldn't say Baruch Hashem L'Olam Amen V'Amen. Shaila B'Hefsek and Shaila Baruch Olam Atola. Same thing on Friday night, that you shouldn't say B'Shamayim Yisrael Shabbos. And on Yontem and I shouldn't say Vadaba Moshe. So the Balatanya, when he printed his Siddur, he left out Baruch Hashem Le'olam, was going to leave out Shomer and Esos HaShabbos also, because he writes in the Shulchan Aruch HaRab that you shouldn't say B'Shomer. It'll be a Hepsik. So he was a Mechutin of Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Berditchever. The children were married to each other. So Rabbi Levi Yitzchak corresponded with him and said, how can you leave out B'Shomer and Esos HaShabbos? When the Jews say B'Shomer, the Malachim in heaven are dancing from joy. So he said, okay. So he put it into the Siddur. And he wrote in the Shulchan Aruch, you shouldn't say it's a ksivel or kri. Sometimes you have a krivel or ksiv, sometimes a ksivel or kri. So this is a ksivel or kri. He printed it to make the Malachim happy, to make Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Berditchever happy. And he writes in the Shulchan Aruch, you shouldn't say it. Yeah, they're different in Holy. Then Gemara says, the significance of saying Ashrei. One Girsa has it once a day, one Girsa has it, you say Ashrei, three times a day, yeah. Why they pick out Ashrei? There's so many different prokim in Tehillim. Why do they think Ashrei is so beautiful? So Gemara says it's a combination of two factors. Number one, we say from Aleph to Tov, almost, leave out Nun, because Nun brings to mind Nefila, and we don't want to have a Nefila. So Aleph to Nun means we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu from A to Z. Same thing when you say Vidui. You say Vidui, we sin from A to Z. You have two letters, two Al-Chetz from Aleph, two Al-Chetz starting with the letter Beis, two Al-Chetz with the letter Gimel. So we say, we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu from A to Z on every issue. Yeah. Then the Gemara said that's a combination of two factors, that's one. But you have Tamanya Api, that's in Tehillim, Kuf Yutes, where you have every letter of the alphabet, and it has eight psukim for every letter. So why not say Tamanya Api? That would be a big tichud de tzibur. Let's say Tamanya Api. Why not say Tamanya Api? So the Gemara says, no, because by Ashrei there is a combination of two factors. One is, we praise and God Kodesh Baruch Hu made the Zin. Number two, then it says, Pesach Zedecha must be El Chol Chayretz. And our Kodesh Baruch Hu is kind to the whole world, and he gives them a Zaynus. Yeah, so why didn't he realize that that's... You have that, the combination of the two things, from Aleph to Tov, and Pesach Zedecha. That's the combination. So Rashi writes, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is Hachonas Mozen L'Chol Chay. That's the combination of the two factors. What did Rashi add on L'Chol Chai for? Because so that's what the Meforshim quote from the Vilna Gaon. There's another Perek in Tehillim. A lot of people say the Perek in Tehillim after Mincha on Shabbos afternoon. How does it go? Look in a good Siddur. It's also Alpi Aleph base. And also it says... Teref Nasa Lireyev. He gives food to those who fear him. So it also talks about giving the Zaynus. So why do we say Ashrei? What do you say Ashrei? Because it has from Aleph to Tov that Od Hashem B'Chalevav also has from Aleph to Tov. It also talks about supplying the people with food. That's what Rashi adds on. No, Achonas Mazon L'Chol Chai, to all living people, even to the Rishoyim. Mashani came Teref Nasa Lireyev Yiska Leon Brisa. That passage is only to those who fear him. So that's why we are madif Ashrei. Pesach Zedech must be L'Chol Chai Rotzon. He feeds all the people, even the people who don't deserve. Even the people are not such big tzaddik.
So it's written that the things that must be are, that everybody is satisfied. That's a big brother.
Mm-hmm.
Satisfied.
With what they eat. Each one is satisfied.
Satisfied.
Yeah, that doesn't say.
That doesn't say.
That means he gives the food, but it doesn't say that they're satisfied. Yeah. Different suggestions why we chose Ashrei as opposed to Od Hashem B'Chalevav.
Well, what is the word Ratzon at the end of the Pasuk?
Sva Ratzon. Masbir L'Chol Chai Ratzon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes everybody Sva Ratzon. He satiates everyone. It goes together with the Masbir. Masbir Ratzon L'Chol Chai. That's the Poshim Shah. Then the Gemara said, Dovan HaMelech left out the Nun from Ashrei because the first thing that came to mind was Naflo. He didn't want to have a nefila for the Jewish people, and so he left out the letter Nun, and when he wrote Samach, he says, Samach Hashem l'chol ha'neflim. he removed the nun because the first thing that came to mind was nefila, and then he put by the letter samach, samach Hashem l'chol anoch. Okay. Then the Gemara talks about angels flying. Angels fly. That's in Tanakh. Vayof elai echad min hasrofim. They had visions of the angels flying. The angels were always depicted with wings. So you need wings to fly. What time is it now? 2:30? Hey. So we gotta go run to Mincha. Okay. Let's start Ashrei here.
Bible, it's 1:30.